while you've been out, while you've been at work, while you've been taking care of stuff, we've compiled a composite of the latest and biggest stories of the day to help you get caught up. This is 830 News on the Go.
With Wednesday's 830 on the Go, I'm Lindsay Peterson. Today's stories include plenty more on Tuesday's election, a crucial hearing begins in the U.S. Supreme Court, and a world premiere tonight in Minneapolis. And we begin in Minneapolis, where the mayor's race is now official.
AP declaring Mayor Jacob Frey the winner of a third term after two rounds of tabulation showed more than 73,000 votes, which put him over the 50% threshold necessary to win. His closest challenger, Democratic Socialist Omar Fateh, ended up with more than 65,000 votes, or just over 44%. Minneapolis also saw its largest turnout ever for an off-year election. Laura Oakes, News Talk 830 WCCO.
A leadership upset in St. Paul.
Minnesota State Representative Kali Hur is projected to win the St. Paul mayoral election, defeating two-term incumbent Melvin Carter. Hur talked to supporters after her projected victory was announced late last night.
This wasn't about running against something. It was about running for our city and the people who make this a great city. We didn't focus on the same high voter turnout areas that usually deliver these victories. We organized in communities of color, overlooked areas of the city, because every voice matters in democracy.
Hur becomes the first woman and member of St. Paul's Hmong community to be elected as the city's mayor. In a concession speech, Mayor Melvin Carter congratulated Hur and thanked those who supported him during his two terms, which he said came during some of the city's most challenging times. Mark Fry, News Talk 830 WCCO.
More on Tuesday's election from WCCO Susie Jones.
Governor Walz speaking to reporters today about the election results, congratulating his Democratic partners in the state who won their elections last night. And also he talked about the blue wave that swept the country.
People are tired of Donald Trump. They're tired of the chaos. They're fatigued. He's not delivering on anything. His numbers are really low. This will be a referendum on Donald Trump as much as everything, but it's local things too. And I think the lesson for the Democrats is that each one of these candidates laid out a vision of what's next.
And it was a lot of the same on the Minneapolis City Council, with one exception.
All of the incumbents who were running got reelected, with one exception. One-term incumbent Katie Cashman was defeated by former Park Board member Elizabeth Schaefer, who promises to be a more moderate voice on the council. Schaefer telling Vanita Sakar on the morning news about the race, which was the highest spending of any council race ever in the city.
Two-thirds of my funding came from actually Ward 7. And if you look at Minneapolis, it was even higher. Minnesota, almost, 95%. So it was a true response, I think, to my previous leadership and the desire for change in Ward 7.
Steve Simpson, News Talk 830 WCCO.
And Tanitha Pearl Warren, Soren Stevenson, and Jamison Whiting all won seats that were open in this year's election. Derek Shelton was introduced as the 15th manager in Minnesota Twins history on Tuesday.
This is Shelton's second stint with the club, as he was the team's bench coach under Paul Molitor in 2018 and Rocco Baldelli in 2019.
I promise you, from not only that, but from the 6 years of managing in Pittsburgh, I learned a lot, and I learned about myself and will grow and move forward. I don't take this for granted. There's only 30 of these positions, and they're extremely special.
Regardless of who is on the roster come spring, one thing is clear. Shelton wants to focus on fundamentals.
There is no thing that's too small, and I think at times we get away from that a little bit in the game. But when you're able to sit back and watch the game and reflect on it and you're not in the moment, it's really easy to realize that that's where the focus should be.
Ari Bergeron, News Talk 830 WCCO.
A massive hearing underway in the U.S. Supreme Court today. Here's WCCO Susie Jones.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar will be watching as the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments on whether or not President Trump has the authority to unilaterally impose tariffs on nearly every country under a federal emergency powers law. She stood with small business owners in D.C. who she says have been greatly impacted.
When these people and companies get hit with this tariff tax, it is small businesses that are the roadkill.
She says the president is using an emergency powers law that does not mention tariffs.
The president has been abusing his power and using a statute called IEEPA, sounds too nice for what he's using it for, IEEPA, and saying that he can use this to enact these across-the-board tariffs, and which amount to a $2,000 tariff tax on every family in America.
She says Congress needs to step in.
Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
The Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board is preparing to extend its rec center hours in the event of a potential teacher strike.
Teachers and district leaders have mediated 9 times, but still haven't reached agreement on a new contract, and a strike could begin as early as next Tuesday, November 11th. Recreation Director Newman Thomas says they're prepared to staff up 9 rec centers from noon until 8 p.m. weekdays if that happens.
We have what we call our Spark Studios. This is our tech center. Different technical STEM-type programs we'll have arts and crafts-type program, as well as enriching programs. So there may be some programs regarding education and homework help type of things to enrich.
Thomas says they also have a plan to serve meals provided by Minneapolis Public Schools should a strike take place. Laura Oakes, News Talk 830 WCCO.
After being in preview for the last few weeks, the Purple Rain musical has its world premiere at the State Theater in downtown Minneapolis tonight. Our Taylor Rivera has a preview.
Director Liliana Blaine Cruz says Purple Rain audiences can expect a bold, modern vision for the production, which will grace the stage first in Prince's beloved hometown. She says while the show honors Prince's legacy, it also incorporates a broader range of his discography and fresh story elements.
The album has 9 songs, you know, like a musical has more than that. And so I think there's going to be surprise about how those songs kind of get recontextualized, but then also the other music that gets interwoven inside the piece is going to be, I think, really thrilling.
Taylor Rivera, News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Steve Simpson. Still a lot of confusion about SNAP benefits for some 440,000 here in Minnesota who received the food assistance funding. Saturday, the funding was cut off. By early this week, the Trump administration was ordered to reinstate the benefits, which they say they will do, but just at 50%. Department of Children, Youth, and Families Commissioner Tiki Brown says they now have new complicated instructions from the USDA, all with Minnesotans doing without.
We'll be working with our county and tribal partners also to see what solutions we might have. We are working on a number of options to see how we might be able to get benefits out as quickly as possible, given the complexity that has been given to us.
Finally today, we have seen the ravages of gun violence in Minneapolis over the past few months, with the deadly mass shooting at Annunciation Church, the shooting last weekend near the University of Minnesota, and another this week at a birthday party in North Minneapolis. WCCO's Susie Jones has more on a program at Hennepin Healthcare helping survivors heal.
Being shot is not normal.
Kentrell Galloway is director of Next Step, a hospital-based violence prevention program that connects survivors of violent injury to resources and support. He says whether an innocent bystander or an intended target, every survivor responds differently.
Some folks might not want to leave their house. Some folks might not want to go on certain part of areas of the city.
He says his team works with patients in the hospital, trying to give them hope and direction.
Reminding them that, you know, thank God you're still with us. What is life going to look like now for once you discharge? Because it's going to be different.
Different in many ways.
Your loved ones are going to be worrying about you more and more now. They're like, are you going here? Are you going there? Just rebuilding that trust.
He says since launching in 2016, the program has served more than 900 participants. Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Thanks for listening to the 830 On The Go. For all of our podcasts or to subscribe to the On The Go, visit us at WCCORadio.com/podcasts. I'm Lindsay Peterson, News Talk 830 WCCO.